This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. People wish or hope for many things throughout their lives. Hope is essential to human life. In today's program, we will talk about the hope of the world and how God provided it at Christmas. Please stay with us.
Hope is a critical element to all human beings. Hope to the soul is like oxygen to the lungs, pulsating with life and vision for the future. As we explore the story of Simeon and Anna, two older believers who greeted the baby Jesus, Joseph and Mary, as they brought Christ for circumcision in the temple, we're going to talk together about how hope permeates this story. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, as we celebrate the wonder of Christmas, have our eyes to see the glory of your salvation in the child Jesus. Stir within us fresh faith to believe that he is our Savior, and that he is the hope of the world for all eternity. In his name we pray. Amen. As we celebrate Christmas, the scripture today is found in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the baby, he was named Jesus, the name that the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. Simeon was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took the baby in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God, and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the good news of our Lord. Merry Christmas to each one of you. As we celebrate Christmas, the wonder of Christmas fills my heart with joy and peace. But today, as we explore the story of the dear old saints Anna and Simeon in the temple, who greeted the baby Jesus when Mary and Joseph brought him for circumcision according to the covenant of Abraham, we want to realize that this baby embodies the fulfillment of God's promises to us. So he is the child of hope for the world, a child of hope for all eternity. Many people speak of hope like a wish. I think of the couple that have 3 little children and their financial budget is so extended that they hope every month that there'll be no surprise expenses or repairs because they can't handle them. Or the mother and father whose hearts hurt because their adult daughter has now rejected the God whom they love. And the life choices their daughter is making, they fear will break her life apart, even as their hearts break because of her life choices. Will she ever come back to faith in the God who loves her? They pray so. They hope so. Or the employee who is close to retirement after 30-plus years of faithful service and hopes that he won't lose his job as the company downsizes. Or the family whose dad is battling a terminal illness like a champion, and the whole family prays and hopes that he'll be healed. Or the family whose dad struggles, drowning in a sea of alcoholism, and they hope that dad will face the truth that his life is unmanageable and will seek help. Or the couple who has for years hoped to become pregnant. The child would be born as a product of their love and the beginning of a family. That's their dream. That's their hope. Hope is essential to all of us as humans. Hal Lindsey, the Christian writer, once said, "We can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but not 1 second without hope." Through the years, I've come to greatly value the older saints that are a part of God's church. These men and women give strength to Christ's body, the church, because of their faith. They are the keepers of hope. Their wisdom gives insight into what really matters in life. Their faithfulness drafts us to continue to follow Jesus. Their strong faith is committed for the long haul. They teach us how to hope and how to obey God in a way that blesses others. There's so many hope killers in our world. That's why these dear saints give strength to us. Maybe it's a persistent, unchanging circumstance of life that oppresses us. Maybe it's my own failure or the failure of others that negatively affects me, imprisons me in a way I can't escape. Maybe my dreams year after year go unfulfilled, and with the passage of time my hope dissipates. Or maybe it's the ridicule of a world that doesn't share our view that there is an all-powerful God able to do miraculous things in love for his people. So much can kill our hope. Or we place hope in the wrong place. Human beings can hope in technology or hedonistic lifestyle or accumulation of wealth or position of power. We need hope. Hope is critical. Several years ago, an experiment was done on endurance, conducted at the University of California, Berkeley, involving Norwegian field rats. The rats were placed in a tub of water, where they were forced to swim until they grew exhausted and finally drowned. During the first experiment, the researchers discovered that on average these field rats were capable of swimming for 7 hours before they drowned. A second experiment was conducted, exactly like the first but with one exception. When a rat was getting too exhausted to swim any longer, a researcher would remove the rat from the tub of water just for a few seconds, then put the rat back into the water to continue swimming. These rats were able to swim for 20 hours before perishing. The researchers concluded that the rats in the second group were able to swim much longer than the first group because they had hope. They had experienced a rescue, and what kept them going was the hope that they would be rescued again. We human beings are no different. Without hope, we can drown in difficulties of life. But with hope, we discover our reason for living. Hope keeps us going. It's been said, as oxygen is to the lungs, so hope is to the human heart. So Simeon and Anna in the temple meet Jesus, born in the arms of Joseph and Mary as they come to the temple for Jesus' circumcision. In accordance with the covenant the Lord had made with Abraham, that Jesus would be raised as a child of faith among God's people. So Anna and Simeon, in their rhythms of grace, rhythms of faith, teach us how to keep hope alive, how to live with joyful expectation that God will keep his promises. Anna was an older woman, a widow, and though grief at a young age can turn some hearts bitter, Anna had become softer, kinder, and even more hopeful through the years. Tragedy can kill faith, but Anna's faith was more deeply rooted than ever before. Sorrow can lead some to see God as an aloof tyrant, but Anna, in her faith, viewed God as her tender-hearted father. It says that she never left the temple, worshiping, fasting, and praying day and night. Some older people I know have the experiences of life grind away at their hope till it's gone. They become pessimistic, grumpy, resigned to life's difficulties, even despairing. Not so Anna. In her worship of God and in her awareness of God's promises in the Word, when she encountered the baby Jesus, she rejoiced because she knew that she had met her Redeemer, and she became the first preacher of Christ in the city of the great King. Simeon also, it says, in the rhythms of his graceful life, knew how to keep hope alive. He was righteous, He lived his faith in the Lord with integrity. I might say, Simeon walked the talk. He lived in obedience to God's word because he loved God. It says that he was devout. His heart was loyal and committed. And as he regularly worshiped the Lord in the temple, hearing the word of God's promises, he caught a view of history between God and his people, where God regularly saved and delivered them, forgave them their faults, and redeemed them. Maybe best of all, to keep his hope alive, he was reminded of all the promises of God given to us. So hope lived in constant expectation that God was active and alive in all of life to fulfill his promises to his people. It says that the Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. This was the anointed deliverer who was going to usher in the power and reign of God's love to save the world. So imagine when Simeon also saw the baby Jesus. Did the Holy Spirit whisper to him, "This is the child"? Did the glory of divine light radiate from the face of the baby Jesus? Somehow Simeon knew this is the one. And the parents, Mary and Joseph, must have been very surprised when Simeon came up and took the child out of their arms. And in holding the child, did he realize that the child held the hopes for his future and ours? The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, in the lyric of a hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. So Simeon praised God in the words that have become called the Nunc Dimittis, the basis of many Christian hymns. Now, Lord, I can depart in peace. I am your servant. My own eyes have seen your salvation. This child is the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. Though Jesus had come for circumcision in the covenant of God's people, yet Simeon saw the child and prophetically knew that the child's light of salvation would be for people of every race, every culture, every language, every people. Jesus is the hope of all the world, and still today, he's your hope for life abundant, for forgiving grace, for new beginnings, for a freedom from the fear of death. Jesus, the baby born for you, is the hope of the world. But Simeon also spoke to Mary and Joseph about Jesus' destiny. He said, this child will be for the falling and rising of many, and many hearts will be revealed as they encounter Jesus. There's no neutral response to Jesus Christ. Either you see him as your Savior, born to embrace you in love, or you dismiss him as irrelevant to your life. No neutral response. But Simeon also saw that the child's destiny was to experience suffering. Maybe he even fully understood that the Savior of God was going to go to the cross. So he says to Mary, the mother of Jesus, a sword will pierce your heart. But the child going to the cross was the method of God to give us hope that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I remember early in my ministry meeting a man named John in his mid-70s in the hospital, diagnosed with leukemia. He was a bachelor farmer, and as we visited, he shared stories of his farming, life experiences, the hobbies that he loved, friends in his life. But we also shared together the hope of Jesus Christ. And after a while, I asked John, have you ever in your own life prayed that Jesus would forgive you? Have you ever thanked God for the gift of eternal life? Have you ever invited Jesus to live within your heart? No, he said. I said, John, would you like to today? Yes. So in that very moment, I heard John thank God for giving Jesus as the Savior of the world and as his Savior. He asked Jesus for forgiveness. He thanked Jesus for coming into his heart, and he thanked God for the gift of eternal life. And though he was still facing a difficult illness, his face radiated with a joy and a hope that God was his Savior. For you and I today, too, we hold that baby Jesus as our hope. We hold him in faith and rejoice when our eyes also see God's salvation. May your joy be full, and may your hope permeate every part of your being as you celebrate Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to us. We hold you in faith. We cherish you in hope. Fill our hearts with your love. Now hear God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged your heart as you hold the baby Jesus as your hope for all eternity. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by our listening family. As we reflect on the past year, we express a special thank you to each of you who sent a financial gift and prayed for our ministry. Both are vital for the important work of the gospel message and opening hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit. Today's service is available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website also has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit our website online at christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help defray production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Lee Lavig, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Spencer, Iowa, and associate speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 80th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting. From all of us here at Christian Crusaders, we pray you have a blessed Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year.